But I just was so faithful to him, and I really did believe faithfulness meant we get what we pray for. And this is a time that wasn't. The miracle didn't happen for me, but there was so much more for me. So nearly 10 years after his death, I've been able to experience a deeper understanding of my identity. Like, I have a doctoral level of identity in Christ certificate.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and my husband Todd and I pastor Christ Fellowship Church together. The So Good Sisterhood podcast is all about investing in every girl from every generation to live intentionally, lead confidently, and love generously. And hopefully, it will leave you saying, "That was so good." Well, hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Carissa Robinson, filling in for Pastor Julie today. And I just want to take a moment to thank those of you who like, subscribe, and share with a friend. It really means so much to us. Also, I want to remind you that this season, we are answering your questions at the end of every podcast. So make sure you click the link in our show notes to submit your questions, and we will try to answer it. It could be a practical question, like, "Pastor Julie, how do you make your bangs look so great?" It could be a theological question or a question just for fun. Well, today I have the amazing Lisa Duvall here with us in the studio, and this season has been so special. It's been all about God encounters. We've talked about how an encounter requires reach and how the right crowd can set us up to encounter God. I shared about my encounter with God that set me on a journey in foster care. And last week, Irene Rollins shared how she had an encounter with God in rehab. So, Lisa, before we dive in today, I would love to hear about an encounter that you've had with God.
I love the word encounter. I love the word for the year. It has set my heart, my vision to look for encounters with God. I also appreciated what Pastor Julie talked about, this effort, that reach. This intentional effort to have an encounter with God, I felt like God was calling me to grow in the area of solitude. And so kind of like Pastor Julie's growing in her journaling and positioning herself to encounter God, God had asked me to learn to be quiet and sit still with him. And so I actually started with 3 minutes, similar to her, of going, "I'm going to be quiet. What am I going to hear?" And then started stretching. So over the last couple of years, I've stretched to 15 minutes of solitude with God that is actually just hearing, waiting to receive from him. And in one of those moments, it actually was long after I've been practicing this, is the Holy Spirit met me in a really special way with a special gift for me and a special moment for me. And it was, I loved it. It was, it's a marker in my life, one of the effort to encounter him, but two, what that moment I will seal in my heart forever. But even coming out of that, there's some things I learned in that moment of how it feels, what my body may experience when I'm in the presence of the Lord, unique to me. So I can actually recognize when he's around that my sensitivity to him has intensely multiplied, is my sensitivity to him. And I think it's all a result of my effort, my reach, my wanting to hear what he said and do what he said and grow in that area. So I'm looking for more encounters this year. I can't wait. And obviously years to come, but yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love Pastor Julie said this a couple episodes ago. She said, "Faith is not opposed to effort." Mm-hmm. And you made that effort to really make this discipline a part of your life, and God met you there. It's so, so powerful. Yeah. Well, last month, Pastor Julie shared this amazing message.
Right?
I mean, the girl was on fire. She preached during our Too Good Not to Believe series, and this message was truly incredible. I mean, it was faith-building, it was powerful, it was anointed. And so we're going to spend some time today unpacking this message here right on the podcast. So we're going to lean into a couple clips and then have some conversation about it. So let's go ahead and listen to the first clip.
And we've been in this series over these last few weeks about Jesus, right? It's been about too good not to believe. The man, the message, and the miracles. Because Jesus was the man, right? He was the man, and he was actually, when he was sent to the earth, he became the visible image of an invisible God. And his ministry was marked with miracles. And every one of those miracles came with a message pointing to the very nature and the character of God. And that word miracle is actually translated so many times in scripture as a sign. And we've been talking about this because signs point to something. And I was actually thinking this week about a time right before Jefferson was getting married, and I decided that I was gonna take him on a mother-son trip before he flew the nest. And so we decided that we're gonna go to the Grand Canyon, and I have a picture of us. And can you imagine if we had flown all the way there and made the 4-hour drive just to get there, get out of the car, get in front of the sign, and say, here we are, we've arrived, and then turned around and came home? We did not come for this. We came for this, the beauty and the majesty of all that was waiting in front of us. And it's just like if you were to load up your kids in the car and drive 2.5 hours up the road to Disney World, right? And get all the kids out of the car and you stand in front of the sign and say, hey kids, let's take a picture right here. And then you get them back in the car and you drive home. No, you did not bring them for this. You brought them for this, the experience that was waiting for them on the other side. The sign is just the entry point, right? And you know, this is what signs do. They give us direction, they give us information, but they are not the destination. See, miracles are not the destination. They're not the end goal of our Christian life. The destination is this life-giving relationship with Jesus. Jesus, knowing Jesus is the destination and having him invade every area of your life so that you can experience his presence and his power every day of your life and not just on special occasions, right?
I love how she was talking about how the sign is really just the entry point, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever prayed like, God, give me a sign, right? Give me a sign.
I have.
I think I've prayed that before. And it's like, God, if there's an open parking spot in the front, I'll take that as a sign that you want me to eat at this restaurant.
You know? Or that you want me to buy anything that I see on sale at Nordstrom's Rack.
Yeah, come on, yeah, give me a sign, front, Lord.
Yeah,
I love it. It's just an entry point for really a deeper work mm-hmm. that God wants to do. I was thinking about, you know, just some times where I've prayed for something, but God really wanted to give me something mm-hmm. that I needed, not really what I wanted. And thank God, God knows right. what I need more than I do. I was thinking about some silly things, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like there's been moments where I've struggled with a human, you know, or been frustrated. I don't know. Maybe you probably have never been frustrated at anyone.
Haven't. No, never. Not me.
You're perfect, Pastor Lisa. But, you know, and I've just prayed like, God, change them, right? Help them, Lord. They need your presence. Wisdom, they need your guidance. Peace. They need you to change their heart, soften their heart. But the truth was, God actually just wanted to change me, not them. Mm-hmm. or the financial breakthrough. I've found myself, you know, God, if you could just show up in this way. And later on, I realized actually God wanted me to just learn how to better steward my finances that I do have mm-hmm. rather than waiting for this supernatural provision in my life, right? I don't know. Or like when I met this really cute guy early on, I'm happily married 7 years mm-hmm. now, but way, way early on, you know, I would run into a cute guy and be like, God, just let me marry him, right? And thank God. Thank God. Right. God knows what I need. And he had a better plan for my life. Yeah. What about you?
Okay. Yeah, I do like his better plan. Cole is a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Catch, yeah. You know, for nearly 30 years, I prayed for the opportunity to meet my biological father. The complexity around why I didn't know him and why he didn't know me is too much for this podcast right now. It's definitely a Jerry Springer story, but it's to be talked about later, but it's a significant part of my story because this actually impacted me emotionally, relationally, spiritually, and my own view of myself, vocationally. Everything was impacted by this one missing piece in my life. And so it was just a prayer of my heart. God, I want to meet him. This felt so right to me. Like, why would God not want me to meet my earthly father? And through a series of unfortunate events, that prayer was never answered. My father died before I got a chance to meet him. And before he got a chance to know, he even had a daughter, and he had no children. So I was his only child that he didn't know about. This really sad, disappointing story. And this was a devastating outcome to my sensitive, prayerful heart. And I had been so faithful to the Lord. Pastor Chris, like you said, I'm nearly perfect. No, I'm not nearly perfect. But I just was so faithful to him. And I really did believe faithfulness meant we get what we pray for. And this is a time that wasn't. The miracle didn't happen for me, but there was so much more for me. So nearly 10 years after his death, I've been able to experience a deeper understanding of my identity. Like, I have a doctoral level of identity in Christ certificate. Like, when you think about, when you say, who am I in Christ? That's a really very squishy thing to say. You know, you're like, how do you describe who you are in Christ? Well, I was on a journey of identity, as we all are, but mine was such a rich, deep understanding because I actually didn't have an anchor of a biological earthly father. And so all the disappointment, the anger, and the self-pity, all of it was there. The injustice of this situation really forged this deep season in my life, ultimately bringing me to a level of freedom and intimacy with God that I know I wouldn't have been able to experience this Grand Canyon moment if I would have just stopped at the sign. And my verse coming out of that season is 2 Corinthians, and I reference it all the time, of course, because I can understand when people don't have prayers answered. 2 Corinthians 7:11, it says, "And now isn't wonderful, in all the ways this distress has goaded you closer to God. You're more alive, you're more concerned, you're more sensitive, you're more reverent, you're more human, you're more passionate, you're more responsible. You look at it from any angle, you come out on this side with purity heart every time." And I honestly, that is a Grand Canyon picture right there, because all of that 30 years has forged something in me that I believe helps me, one, walk into what's next for me, but it also helps me love, shepherd, and pastor people in a way from a richness of soul that I would go, I don't know if I could otherwise do that. So yeah, I actually would say, I wished he would have answered my prayer though. You know, I do wish, but I know I'll get to meet him on the other side of heaven. So I can still have that longing in my heart and believe that it's the right thing and that God is doing a work that's greater than I can understand.
Wow. I love it. Don't settle for the sign when he wants to give you the whole Grand Canyon.
That's right. That's right.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into this next clip where Pastor Julie talks about the passage in Mark chapter 2.
And I want to encourage you today with this word. It's found in Mark chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, we've got the scripture on the screen. It says this. It says that when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. He preached the word to them. And some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. So try to imagine this picture. You can see what the scene might have looked like, but picture that this whole courtyard would have been filled with people. They were crowding the door, and Jesus is inside the house. And these four friends, they're carrying their friend who they loved, who had been paralyzed. He couldn't move. It says he was actually laying on the mat. And they were carrying him to Jesus. And as they carried him, there was a crowd that was pressing in on them, but they would not let the crowd distract them. There's always going to be a crowd trying to distract you from getting to Jesus. But these friends would not let the crowd distract them. They decided they didn't quit because the crowd was too crowded. They didn't give up because it wasn't convenient. They just kept pressing through. They had to carry him up those stairs and then on top of the roof. And at some point they couldn't just drop him, right? So they had to create some kind of pulley system. This took some time and some effort to put together something that would lower their friend. It also tells us that Jesus was probably preaching for a really long time. So if I go long today, bear with me, okay? So they put together this pulley system to put him down, and this took some time. So what they were doing is they were making way for a miracle. They were making a way for Jesus to do his thing. You know, these four friends, they knew that they didn't have the power to heal their friend, but what they also knew is that they could create an atmosphere and an environment where the supernatural could take place, right? They could create an atmosphere and an environment for miracles to happen. And here's what you need to know, is that there is a direct correlation between your community and your encounter. Yes. There is a direct correlation between the community that you keep and the encounters that you will have. See, that what we see is that most miracles in all of Scripture, they come with a supporting cast, right? You look at the miracle at Cana when Jesus showed up at a wedding. There were servants who actually filled huge jugs of water so that he could turn it into wine. No water, no wine. The little boy who brought the fish and the loaves, no lunch for 5,000 people. You see that there's always a partnership between the natural and the supernatural. Somebody is always making a way for the miracle. And I think about, you know, when we make a way for a miracle, you actually get a front row seat to see the supernatural. When you're the one carrying the mat, you get the front row seat.
You know, Pastor Chris, I think there is a direct correlation between the community you keep and the encounters you have. James and I, my husband and I have the privilege of working with married couples often, and we always challenge them that they need to surround themselves with pro-marriage friends. So these are people that are going to champion marriage, champion your husband, champion your wife in the moments when the tough times come and they're acting like a ding-a-ling. You want someone who's going, it's going to work, you can do this. But and they're speaking hope and life, and they're speaking the design that God has for marriage. Well, when I think about my relationship with Jesus, which is instituted before marriage, right? And so I want those pro-Jesus with me in my corner. If someone's carrying my mat, as Pastor Jude is describing this, I thought, if someone drops the corner of the mat, he's already crippled. What more damage is going to happen to him? But it's really true in our spiritual life. With Jesus, we need pro-Jesus people that are pointing us to Jesus, to his word, to the truth of what he says about our lives and the purpose for us, and that we're supporting belief. You know, oftentimes I've seen and sat with all kinds of different age of people, not just young people, all of us fall prey to this, is that we allow people to introduce different beliefs into our struggle, into our spiritual crisis, which really could take us in a direction we don't even intend to do. I think that we need to be mindful that people are pointing us back to Jesus and his word. You know, I have a personal story of a young woman who was in her, like 18, 19 years old, and was in a spiritual crisis, just like I was having. So the people she went to in this moment, the people that were carrying her mat, were people who didn't love Jesus. And she sought counsel from people who didn't understand the truth of God's word. And they dropped the corners of her mat. And she's still working that out to this day. And so I just go, in times when you are struggling, I would never go to my non-Christian friends. Should we have non-Christian friends? Absolutely. In times of struggle, should we seek them out? Absolutely not. These are not a pro-Jesus community that's going to care. I want somebody with big old muscles on all four corners of my mat, you know, carrying that and lowering me down, because I don't want to injure myself more than I am in the moment. And I think often we do that. We align ourselves with people who are not championing the God call in our life and what Jesus is doing in our life and his word. Yeah.
So good. You know, I think there's the tendency to find those people to carry your mat, right? The ones that aren't going to champion the godly things. And some of us are like, oh, of course, like I have Christian friends. I have pro-Jesus people. But I was thinking about the phrase that I've heard somebody say, that misery enjoys company. Mm. And if you find yourself on a mat, you often look for other people that are injured like you. Mm-hmm. Just to feel not alone, right?
Right.
And that becomes your sounding board. Mm. That becomes, I don't know, like when I'm sick and I have the flu,
yes.
I am Googling the flu constantly. Like, what are the symptoms and what happens if and what happened? And I spiral. Like, mm-hmm. I go to a...
Like, I have that symptom.
I have it, yeah. Like, and I might not even have it, but then I'm going to have it,
That's
you know?
Right.
And you kind of go to a darker place than you were before, mm-hmm. because you want to find someone or something to relate to, because misery enjoys company.
Yeah.
And sure. I was just thinking about anybody that's on a mat that's going, yeah, I have Christian people and I can relate to them because they're struggling with the things that I'm struggling with. Well, those are people that need love and care. Mm-hmm. But if you're both struggling with the same thing, they're not the people that you need carrying your mat. You need, I liked how you said it, just some strong people, the ones who have seen this through, the ones who have gotten to the other side, who have seen God be faithful in the struggle. Not, you don't need to be having somebody just as injured as you carrying your mat.
Oh, preach. That's so good.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, before we go to the next clip, if you go back and watch this message, Pastor Julie really has this incredible part of the message where she talks about how the four friends, they go ahead and they lower the paralyzed man in through the roof. And Jesus not only heals him physically, but he forgives his sins. Mm-hmm. And this is such an important part because truthfully, this is the single greatest miracle that God can mm-hmm. do for us. And it's worthy of mentioning that this part in the sermon was just so beautiful because it's easy to forget. You know, we're mm-hmm. looking for these signs and miracles in our life. But the truth is, if God does nothing else for mm-hmm. us, but forgive us of our sins and bring us back into a relationship with him beautiful. Forever, that is the single greatest miracle he can do for us. So now that you're caught up on where we were going, let's go ahead and jump into this next clip.
This is the life that he came to give us. And all of this, he came to give us not so that we would keep seeking after events. See, God is not, Jesus is not a miracle slot machine. We put in our request, out comes the answer, right? He is so much more than that. He will never settle. He will never settle for just being a means to the end. And this is the deal. If we reduce our spiritual life and our relationship with Jesus and we base it on just the events and the supernatural things that he does for us, then we're going to miss out on so many of the miracles that he has for us. We're going to miss out on the miracles that happen over time. The miracle of the strength and character when we endure through hard times. The miracle of tearing down strongholds. Strongholds are built up over time. But a life full of getting daily in his presence, practicing the presence of God, knowing the word of God so we can fight our spiritual enemy. We will miss out on the weapons of warfare that he wants to give us to tear down those strongholds that are given to us over time. We'll miss out on the transformation of our mind and the renewing of our hearts. The transformation of our desires becoming his desires. What I'm talking about is the miracle of maturity. The miracle of maturity that only happens over time.
When I think about the miracle that happens over time, my brain automatically connects to the passage in James chapter 1, 2, and 4, where it says, "Consider it nothing but joy when you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to a spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing at all." Wow, that is some work over time. And so this verse just challenges me is if I allow it, if I will lean in, if I allow it, trials, injustices, my own sin, poor choices that affected my own life and affected other people, that God will do a deep work. There are seasons I feel like we all want to have an 8-week discipleship class and go, we checked that box, experiencing God. We did flourish. And God's going, no, yeah. I want to use life. I want to use a situation, the thing that you're looking for, the thing that's a trial, the whatever that is, to do a deep work in you. I don't know about you, Carissa, but oftentimes when I feel like he's doing like an inner trial is that I go, I usually have a quick response as to why I'm defending myself, or I have a reason why this shouldn't be. And that has become an absolute red flag waving in the air saying, Lisa, there's something I want to do in you that's richer and deeper, that maturity will actually emerge. Your spiritual maturity will emerge, but you have to kind of lean into it. And I love this verse. It's in God's kindness and his goodness that he would say, you will have spiritual maturity and peace.
Hey everyone, Carissa here. You know, one of my favorite things I love most about the podcast is the conversations I get to have with my friends. From favorite quotes to so good moments to devotionals, Show Notes Plus gives me the opportunity to discuss and dive deeper into the content. It's also a great way to stay up to date on everything happening in Sisterhood. Click the link in our show notes so you don't miss out on anything.
He's so good, because the truth is, again, logically things might not work out. The things that you pray for might not happen. But then God brings this confidence and peace. But then there's endurance for the next season, for what he has for us, and then we keep growing in that of going, peace is going to come at the end of this. I love it.
I love it. I've heard somebody say, like, when pain and suffering or hardship or trial mm-hmm. come our way, rather than resisting like mm-hmm. like in our nature.
Yes.
You ask the question, what have you come to show me? Mm. What is the work that you want to do in me? And I love James chapter 1, mm-hmm. and I love the way the NLT version puts it. It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, mm. so let it grow. Mm. And I was just thinking, gosh, I mean, if we want to grow, mm-hmm. if we want to become mature disciples of Jesus, mm-hmm. then we can't resist life's greatest yeah. teachers, right?
Right.
Let it grow.
Yeah.
Somebody has said this before, shortcuts cut your growth short.
Mm.
So the best way to not grow is to resist, to avoid, to push back
yes.
the hard things in life that mm-hmm. really God has given us as mm-hmm. a gift to grow us. It's
yeah.
powerful.
It's so hard to do that in the moment. Easier yeah. said than done.
For sure.
Oh, come on.
For sure. For sure. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump into this last clip. Let's go ahead and check this out.
But we know that for a long time, he was stuck on a mat. And there's a certain perspective that you can get when you're stuck on a mat. You know, when you're stuck on the mat, you can look around and you see all the miracles that are happening around you. This guy probably did. He'd heard about Jesus. Man, look at there. That person got healed of the very thing that I've been praying God would heal me of. And their relationship got restored and mine is still a wreck. And I've been praying for a spouse for 20 years. And my sister, who's 20 years old, just got engaged. Praise the Lamb, right? And it's pretty discouraging down here on the mat. But here's the deal, is that sometimes when we get stuck on the mat of discouragement and disappointment, we may not be physically paralyzed, but we can become spiritually paralyzed. We stop walking by faith because we can't believe that God has a new thing for us because he didn't do that old thing we prayed for. We stop running into his presence because we're afraid we're going to be disappointed again. And so we let our faith grow cold. And if that's you and you're here, I get it. I have spent a fair amount of time here on the mat of disappointment. You know, there are questions that I've had. You know, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why you healed Melinda. I am so glad that you healed Melinda, right? But why you healed her and yet my young friend who's still in the battle for her life, why didn't you heal her? And I don't understand why that couple that I prayed with who've been praying to get pregnant for 15 whole months and they got their miracle baby and my friends, my close friends who've been praying for 15 years, man, they're still waiting. I don't get it. And I'm sure that you probably have some questions of your own. Why? Why didn't the marriage get saved? Why didn't that person live? But here's what I've learned on my time on the mat. I was reading the scripture this week, and I came across this verse in Deuteronomy 20:29. And it says this, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Can you just trust that God has some secrets? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I don't get it, but he has some secrets, some mysteries. And they're hard to understand sometimes. But when you spend time in the presence of God, there's some things that you learn. And one thing I've learned is that I can place what I know about my God above what I don't know about why he does what he does and answers what he does and what he doesn't. There's some things I know about God, that God is a good father, that he's a mighty warrior, he is fighting for you, that he is Jehovah Shalom, that he will bring peace in the midst of your chaos, that he is for you, he is not against you, that he really is working all things together for your good, according to his purpose. Those are some things that I know, and sometimes that has to be enough. That even though I don't have all the answers, I can worship. I can worship and say, all my life, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God because I don't have all the answers, but I worship the one who does. But here's the good news, is that the secret things belong to God. But it goes on to say, that the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. See, there are some things in his word that he's revealed to us. There's some things that he wants us to know so that we can know what to do when we find ourselves on the mat wondering why he's not answering our prayers the way we want him to. He's revealed some things. He revealed some things in this story about this man on the mat. The first thing we see is that the first thing he reveals is that you may not always get, you may not always, the miracle you get may not always be the one that you prayed for. Let me say that again. The miracles that you get may not always be the one you prayed for. But let me tell you, it's not a consolation prize.
You know, I love that idea of the revealed things that God gives us. And I think about that it's a revealed revelation. It's wisdom. It's comfort. It's him showing up. This is a fresh off of the press of Lisa's life right now of I'm entering in a season, an unexpected season that I'm caring for my mom in our home. And it's a pretty daunting diagnosis that she has. And people that are more experienced than me, doctors, people who've walked this road have said, this is not something you want to touch. You can't do this. And God, as I was praying to him, how am I going to do this? Like tearful, crying out to God, how am I going to do this? My mom has been so faithful to you for 52 years. She served you. She made a turn toward you and never turned back. And you've shown your faithfulness to her before. And I just am praying, God, will you give her dignity? Just give her dignity in this diagnosis. And God, just like I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, where he just whispered in my heart, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. He said, I am giving her dignity, and it's you. So God called James and I into this season of providing a covering for my mom in a time that dignity isn't a part, is going to be exposed. There's going to be a lot parts of her life that are exposed. And I love that this is like it's a revelation to me. It's direction to me. It's a secret revealing to me of direction. And the cool thing is it gives me great comfort because I'm like, it doesn't matter what doctors say. It doesn't matter what people have done ahead of me in this, but it matters what God told me. And it certainly is not the miracle I'm looking for, but I know he's in it.
Wow. I mean, that's so beautiful and powerful mm-hmm. and admirable and makes me think of Jeremiah 33:3 mm-hmm. that says, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And you're in a dark moment, you called to him and he showed you the next move. Yep. He showed you the direction for you and your mom, and he's so faithful to do that every time.
He'll keep doing it.
I love it. This has been so fun, but we end every conversation this season with a question from our listeners. And so this time, Pastor Lisa, are you ready?
I'm ready.
This one's from Oksana. Okay, she sent in this question. What's a core memory that has shaped your life? Mm. A core memory. I'll start, so okay, I'll give you a minute to think.
Yeah.
For me, the first core memory I was thinking about was when I was an early young adult. I was like 19 years old, and I got together with some of our young adults at Christ Fellowship, and we went on a global mission trip to India. And we had an amazing time serving some orphans and new church plants in these small villages in India. But what was the core memory for me was when we got to visit a leper colony.
Mm.
Okay. Most people don't know that leper colonies actually still exist in the modern day in these small villages. Although leprosy is a completely curable disease now, these small third world places do not have the means to cure these people. And so just like the Bible, it came to life for me when we drove down this long, dark path to this isolated place where they housed all the people that were dealing with leprosy that had missing limbs and broken lives. And we just got to spend the day with them, feeding them, praying with them, touching them, things that people would never even think about doing because of their condition. And it was just such a moment marker for me.
Yeah.
It was like one of those moments where God just showed up and was like, gosh, I mean, what we read in the Bible is real. And there is still a people that still face what we read about till this day, and that the gospel is for everyone.
I love
it. It was a core memory. What about you? What about you? Core memory.
Well, I just feel like Oksana, this name is such a name of strength. And really, honestly, I was just praying for her. And God said, she is a woman of strength that he has purpose for. He has something for her that she's prepared for and he's equipping her for. And I'm just excited for Oksana. Thank you for this great question. Interesting enough, Pastor Carissa, I have a mission story also, is that it's so cool to be on the mission field. I love it. It really stretches our thinking. But I was in Africa. We did a women's conference there, and there was like 2,000 women who literally drove like hours just to come to this. Like, this was a special moment for them. And I just thought, how cool that we get to be a part. I get to be a part of this big moment for this area in South Africa. And so I look out as women are coming, just coming dirt roads from all angles. And I see a woman who has no mobility in her legs, no wheelchairs. And she's literally crawling with her arms all through the dirt, through the grass, to come and sit and hear God's word.
Wow.
And be in the presence of God. And I'm like, this is a different level. And I came home changed, a core memory of, I will never complain about worship again.
Yeah.
I will never complain about walking into the church where I have the freedom to worship and the mobility to get there. And I'm just so grateful that they're so hungry. And I wanted to go, I want to be as hungry as she is.
Yeah,
would
right.
I do that? And so core memory. Come on, sisters.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I actually want to let our listeners know that you can create your own core memories on the Global Mission Field. We actually have some mission trips coming up as
Look
a church
that
we're going to link in the show notes. So if you have it in your heart that you want to get on the mission field, either locally or globally, you have the opportunity to do that this summer and all throughout the year with us. We'd love to invite you to be a part of that. But hey, this has been such a fun time together. Mm-hmm. Pastor Lisa, thanks for all your wisdom and just sharing so authentically and vulnerably with us today.
Thank you.
But I want to remind you guys, don't forget to keep sending in your questions. You can use the link in the show notes and we'll do our best to answer them right here on the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of our future episodes. Also, check out the show notes for the link to Pastor Julie's full message so you can listen to it in completion. But we'll catch you next time on the So Good Sisterhood podcast.
Thank you for joining us today for the So Good Sisterhood podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share this podcast with a friend, or leave us a comment. We hope today's episode leaves you feeling so good.